Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31, Proverbs chapter 31. I am so thankful for Mother's Day and what it represents and how we honor our godly mothers that have honored the Lord, and how good it is to just take some time and think about this. Now, I know sometimes when we look at Mother's Day, and sometimes I preach out of Proverbs 31, and not everyone likes that in one sense because it's a hard mark to live up to. But I like what Mark Twain said. He said, a few things are harder to put up with than the annoyance of a good example. And so we'll find that there's a good example. And yes, it may kind of make you feel guilty at times, but it is good to recognize that God has a perfect plan and a perfect way. And Proverbs 31 really kind of shines some light on that. So let me read to you out of Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10. It says, who can find a virtuous woman for a price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like a merchant ship, and she bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth out not by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hands to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. For she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself clothing of tapestry, and her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excelleth them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. Father, again, we are so thankful for those godly women that have made a big difference in our lives. So, Lord, today I pray that you would encourage them and bless them and help them to be what they could and should in your eyes. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of them being praised, not just by us, but by you one day. And so help them live in such a way that they hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or maybe the words, well done, good and faithful mother. So Lord, today bless this time as we read your word. Bless this time as we share. Lord, I pray for conviction on the whole place that we would honor you. Thank you, Lord, for your promise that when your word is read, I would not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Somebody has said this, and I kind of like the idea, that behind every good man, there is a good woman and a surprised mother-in-law. So I like that thought because there's no doubt that those godly ladies have made a great impact on who we are. They have encouraged us and helped us. And so you don't have to be some big name person to really do that. Yes, we find the Bible like Sarah was a great person of faith. Or maybe Ruth in Ruth 11, the only one really called a virtuous woman. But maybe you're more like a Jochebed, and you may not recognize that name right off, but that was the mother of Moses, kind of behind the scenes, and yet became a tremendous man and prophet in the eyes of God and in the eyes of the people. And so we recognize that it is a virtuous woman that makes a difference in the lives of others. Let me remind you that word virtuous in the Old Testament is chahil. It means, again, virtuous or strength or capable or excellent. But it's also translated in some places as a host or as an army. And you may think, well, it would take an army of people to do the things found in Proverbs chapter 31, and that is the truth. But I'm also reminded in Psalms 121, verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And then in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And so as we look at this Proverbs 31 woman, let us recognize many things have been established in the lives of those special ladies in our life, and so we can honor them because of that. Notice the first thing that makes her a virtuous woman. She is devoted to her husband. She is devoted to her husband. And we're going to find that the first institution found in the Word of God is this institution of marriage or the family. And it was God that first created marriage in the very beginning. Proverbs 18:22 says, "Whoso finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord." And so notice what she's devoted to her husband, because one, she has a priority for her husband. She has a priority for her husband. Verse 11 says this, "For the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so he shall have no need of spoil." We are reminded that this virtuous woman is far worth above rubies. And it recognizes this bond between her, the husband and wife. And again, it is not a mistake, but it is shown to be something of great importance. And so we understand that the commitment between a husband and wife is second only to our commitment to our Father above. And so we'll find there's a priority. First, a priority in her bond. Before her children, before her work, before anything, she is to have the husband in the right standing. I like the idea of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." We recognize how good that is as Christ established man and woman to be in him, to be as one body. Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And we can talk about the sacrifice and service between a husband and wife and how that bond is. Just know that there should be a priority in your marriage, the women toward their husband and the husband toward their wife. But not just this priority there, but also a priority of affection. Notice this again, verse 11. "That the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall no need of spoil." That word spoil is the idea of plunder or something captivated in war, something that taken as prey. And so there's no need of plunder between this husband and wife that is a virtuous woman in this great relationship. In other words, he is not looking for something else. He is content. He is a husband that is a one-woman kind of man. Again, verse 12 says, "She will do good to him and not evil all the days of his life." She is seeking the best interest all of her days for her husband. Proverbs 12:4 says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that makes ashamed is a rottenness in his bones." And then we find that Titus chapter 2 reminds us that in verse 4 that the older women are to teach the younger women. And one of the things they are to teach them is that they are to love their husbands. Now, when you go back to the original language in Titus chapter 2, when he says love your husbands, that's not just this idea of agape love or unconditional love, but it is the idea of philo or brotherly love. In other words, teach them to be friendly to their husbands. I'm finding that there are many couples out there who say, "Well, I love you, but I really can't stand you right now." That is not the idea we find it should be in this right marriage. So she is a priority for her husband, but secondly, she is a pillar for her husband. She is a pillar for her husband. There is a sense of security so that he can trust in her. It is a sense of confidence. It is a sense of being a partner for life. I like this idea again in Genesis 2:18. "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Therefore, I will make him a helpmeet for him. Made from man, not a bone from his head or a bone from his foot, but a bone from his side, so that they are equal in many things and in all things." We recognize that he has been given a helpmeet. By the way, guys, she is not there to do everything for you, but help you get everything done. It is your job, and she just comes alongside to help you get those things done in your life. Wives should be a vital part of your life. Not someone you live with, but someone you cannot live without. So the Bible speaks about how important that is. Even in ministry, I'm reminded it is important to have a faithful wife. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 says, "A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife." And then he speaks about deacons in 1 Timothy 3:12. "Let the deacons be the husband of one wife," because it is important to have a helpmeet to carry out the function of ministry. But there's a third thing that makes her virtuous. She has a priority, she has a pillar, but also she promotes her husband. Jump down to verse 23. "Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land." He is known in the gates. Let me remind you that people do what they do. In one sense, they work hard, they do that. But those ladies that come along beside, those ladies that really help, they are lifting their husbands up. So let me ask you, ladies, kind of a convicting question. What do you say about your husbands to other people? Do you lift him up? Are you proud of him? Do you talk good about him? Or when others say something good, are you jealous and cut him down? Let me remind you again, it's not a secret. You are not married to a perfect man. We are all imperfect people. But yet, we're called to promote one another. So how does she promote her husband? Do you simply respect your husband or build him up, or is it something else? The proverb writer reminds us in chapter 21, verse 9, it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. We recognize that we need people in marriages to build one another up. And so it goes both ways, though. We recognize that when you do this, the husband should also do the same. Matter of fact, verse 28 says, her children shall arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And we'll see at the end that the husband should build up his wife. So guys, it's your turn. Let me ask you, how do you praise your wife? How do you build her up? Well, one, you can praise her with your mouth. Take the time to say thank you for all she does. Brag on her in public. Tell her often what she does and how it means a lot to you. If she cooks, or she balances the checkbook, or she's the caretaker or the cleaner, simply tell her and praise her for that. Secondly, provide for her. Make a living for her. Don't be a bum. Work hard and provide for your spouse. It's not what you can get out of the relationship, but what you can give back. Thirdly, give some practical help around the house. Don't say, that's not my job. You do as you can to help and encourage your wife. Fourthly, purchase gifts, especially those special occasions. Fifthly, promise to proclaim your love on a daily basis. Don't be like the guy. Matter of fact, we had a guy that used to go to church like this. He passed away now. I'm not going to call his name. But he told his wife, he said, I love you. If I change my mind, I'll tell you that too. Not good. Tell your wife you love her. Write those little notes and maybe put them in the butter dish or on the grocery list or on the car keys or in the coffee cup or in the mirror in the bathroom. Those little things that say I love you speak volumes to say, hey, I'm thinking of you. And then lastly, you can pray for her. You say, well, I don't know what to pray about. Well, if she's having to live with you, that's something to start with. Pray for your wife. Let me ask you, have you been a devoted wife? Have you put your husband first? Have you lived a life of value that is far above rubies? Husbands, have you thanked your wives for all she does? Have you treated her as a precious stone of tremendous value? If you have a devoted wife, praise her and praise her and then praise the Lord for her. How good that is. So, she is devoted to her husband, but secondly, she is diligent to her household. She is diligent to her household. Verse 27 says, she looks well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. So we're going to find now also not just a priority to her husband, there's a priority for her household. It's kind of a sad thing. We've kind of lost the traditional model of stay-at-home moms. And again, it's not a sin for you to go to the workplace. I know it takes two these days, it seems like, to make ends meet. But how good it is if you can simply sacrifice to stay at home while those children are young to make an influence on them. Again, it's not a sin to work outside the home, but it always comes at a cost. Let me say this. Nobody will love your children like you do. Nobody will care for them as you will. That's just how we are. And so the Lord has made the family a priority. So don't let anyone shame you for staying home and raising your children. Matter of fact, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he said this, I will therefore the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, to give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And so they were there to guide the house. So notice what this leads. She provides for their everyday needs. She provides for their everyday needs. So we find that she is a worker with her hands in verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She makes sure that her family has what it needs to function. She is not lazy, but a worker with her hands to make ends meet. Now, I like this little saying I found not too long ago. A man's work is from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. It's amazing if you think about this. Our ladies in our life are always working, always doing early and late to make things right. I've shared this before, but I've updated a little bit. Somebody said they begin to look at the average mom to just see the things they did and what it was worth. They begin to look at their different jobs, like chauffeur, a gardener, family counselor, maintenance worker, cleaning woman, housekeeper, cook, errand runner, budget and bookkeeper, manager, interior decorator, caterer, dietitian, secretary, public relations person, hostess. And they use this list to kind of formulate a plan. Now, this is in 1981, and it came up to a salary of $40,823.64. Well, thanks to the power of Google, I took that same list, added it up, and it came out to $145,308. And so, ladies, you are well worth your money. Again, let me say this. It is not wrong to work outside the house, but how good it is if you can simply do those things. And so, guys, never take it for granted for all the things she does. And if you think she's not doing much, then try to switch places, and you'll see she really does. So, she is a worker with her hands, but secondly, we're going to find that she is a shopper. Notice this, verse 14. She is like a merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. Verse 16 says, she considers a field and buys it. Now, how does she do that? She shops. The good news, lady, the good news is the Proverbs 31 was a shopper. All those Amazon packages, when they begin to build up and your husband says, what's going on here? Just say, I'm a Proverbs 31 lady. It's going to be okay. So look at the results. Her family is taken care of. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household. For all of her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself covering of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She provides for their everyday needs. But that's not all. She provides for their ecclesiastical needs. Ecclesiastical needs. That's just a fancy word for spiritual needs. That's the only word I can come up with. And so there's a demand for spiritual training, yes, from the father, but also from the mother. Rudyard Kipling said this, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. Somebody else said a little different way, an ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest. And we find that's exactly what takes place in this Proverbs 31 lady. Verse 26 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom. The psalmists tell us in Psalms 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Job 28:28 says, and to the man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Proverbs 15:33 says, for the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And so we know when she opens her mouth, it is this idea that God has blessed her to be used to instruct those around her, especially her children. We find a great example of that in the book of Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, speaking about Timothy, which was first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I persuade it is in you also. How good it is when our parents, our mothers, invest in us that we may know who the Lord is. I'm so thankful for my mother to see that she made it a priority that I was in the Lord's house day after day after day, or I should say Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And it makes a huge difference. So how can you invest in your children? How can you make sure of their religious upbringing? One, be sure that you share your story of faith. Tell them about your coming to know Christ. Secondly, share scripture. Read it, write it, talk it. Then thirdly, live a life that upholds scripture. Live a life that says, I believe. And then fourthly, correct them when their life doesn't do that. Tell them when they're wrong. I know I've shared that story about my grandmother. My grandmother came to live with us, her and granddaddy, when they were getting elderly. And very devout believers, strong, strong believers. Well, again, I've shared the story. In eighth grade, there was an eighth grade dance, and I was going to go to the eighth grade dance. And Mama said, probably not best to share that with Grandmama because she does not approve of dancing. I said, okay. But when I was walking out, Grandmama was by the door, and she said, where are you going? I said, well, I didn't want to lie to Grandmama. So I said, I'm going to the dance. And she said, now, you know that's wrong. I said, yes, ma'am, I know that's wrong. She said, oh, that makes it all the worse. She want to make sure I knew right and wrong. And so correct them when they're not right. So she provides for their everyday needs. She provides for their ecclesiastical needs, but also she provides for their emotional needs. Again, verse 26, at the end there says, in her tongue is the law of kindness. She speaks kind words. She speaks encouraging words. She builds up her children. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go. Let me remember that not all children are the same. Children are not robots, and so parents need to recognize and encourage the right way to help them and grow them as they should. One of my favorite examples of this is Thomas Edison. If you know Thomas Edison, he was a great inventor. He had 1,093 patents. That's not his inventions. That's the ones that he took and got patented. We get the phonograph or the incandescent light bulb and the early motion picture cameras. But when he started school, the school looked at him and said, there's something wrong with him. He's addled. He's unteachable. And his mother said, no, he's not. I will take him and teach him. Years later, he says, my mother was the making of me. She was so true, so sure of me, I felt I had something to live for, someone I must not disappoint. So we know Thomas Edison's success was not of his own making, but from his mother. And how good that is. Verse 28 again says, her children arise, and they call her blessed. Notice the pattern. Her husband calls her blessed, but now so do her children. They recognize her value. Here's the third thing. She is devoted to her husband. She is diligent to her household. But thirdly, she has desire to help the helpless. Verse 20 says, she stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hand to the needy. The virtuous woman has a desire to help the less fortunate. How does this happen? She has a perception of those in need. She has a perception of those in need. It is easy in today's world to be hard-hearted, to turn away from those in need and blame it on them. It is easy to have a mindset to think they deserve what they get because they're lazy or crazy. But the woman of virtue overcomes these things. How so? She has a desire to overcome a judgmental heart. There's a thought behind those godly ladies that says, hey, there's more to the story than I can see. Instead of judging, she has a desire to find out. She also overcomes selfishness. She has a heart that wants to share. It means to share, to give up something of her own self. No one has an unlimited amount of resources to give, so to be selfless means that you have to give, which is honorable in the eyes of God. But there's a promise that God gives us in Proverbs 28:27. It says this, he that giveth to the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. God has promised that if we help the less fortunate, we will not lack ourselves. But lastly, she overcomes her pride. It's just a reminder that when she sees others, she recognizes them as no better than she is. It's the thought that, hey, except for the grace of God, I could be in the same place as they are. This virtuous woman has a perception of those in need. But also, notice this, not just a perception of those in need, but her practices toward those in need. She has a practice toward those in need. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The idea is I must help others. I've already mentioned having a desire to reach those beyond her normal reach, to see those that are hurting to be helped. And I'm thankful for godly ladies in this church that have started ministries to help those that I never would see, that I never would understand about, but they have a heart for ministry. And they have done great things. How good that is. Well, here's the last point I want you to get. Not only is she devoted to her husband, and she is diligent to her household, and she has desire to help the helpless, but she is dedicated to the Heavenly Father. She is dedicated to the Heavenly Father. All the things I mentioned are really based on what I'm fixing to say. That all the things that she does is because of who she serves. And really, we recognize that all the things she's done, she's going to leave behind one day. But there is a place that prepared for her because she has been faithful to the Lord. So how does this start? Once she is surrendered to the Lord, she is surrendered to the Lord. Verse 30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That word fear, sometimes we want to say honor and respect, and that is true. but she truly recognizes an awesome God, and because of that, she has surrendered her life. You cannot be a virtuous woman without being faithful to the Father. Let me say that again. You cannot be a virtuous woman without being faithful to the Father. And being faithful to the Father leads to faithfully serving others. James chapter 2 says, "But what thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." And so that's why we recognize those special ladies, because they have served. They have simply gone on mission for the Lord in their households, in the communities, and even further. They are surrendered, and it is evidenced by their life and their love. If you've not done this, if you're here today and you've not come to Christ Jesus, if you've not surrendered, let this be the day of salvation. Let this be the day when God says, you are a virtuous woman. Trust in the Father above and see what He will do. Surrender yourselves. You say, why? Well, notice how it ends. Not only is she surrendered to the Lord, but she will receive shouts of praise. Again, at the end of verse 30 says, "But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised." We saw in verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praised her. So we recognize they praise her. But also notice verse 31, "Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise in the gate." In other words, her reputation amongst the people, they see this and they praise her. But the greatest praise she will have is when she stands before the Lord one day and hears those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Your faithfulness to others, because your faithfulness to the Father, will be rewarded with a great recognition and a praise in the life to come. Matthew 25:40 says, "The king shall answer and say to them, Verily I say to you, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." Verse 21 says, "And his Lord shall say unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou to the joy of the Lord." I'm telling you, you will be recognized one day for your faithful service to the Father, your faithful service to your family, your faithful service to what God has called you to do. You will be recognized. People may not see what you do now, but take heart. Just know the Lord does, and He will always honor His word and honor those that follow Him. One day, you will meet Him face to face. And there's really only one question to ask. What will be said of you by the Lord as you meet Him on that day? Nobody else will matter. It will just be between you and Him. Let this be a day of commitment that you recognize how important that is, and you follow Christ Jesus. You put Him first. You honor Him. So on that day that you stand before Him, He will recognize you and honor you too. I like this poem that I found some years ago. It says, "My mother, your love, I know, I've seen your tears. You've given to me life. You walked through hours, days, and years of heartache, toil, and strife to see that I could have the best that you could give to me. You gave up needs and often rest as you viewed eternity. To do His will, my highest call, by your special care, I stood and walked and did not fall because you held me up in prayer. Though strands of gray may brush your hair and miles divide our way, I know that by your quiet prayer, you've helped me day by day. You've shown to me how to give, to share, to put my own needs last. You've been helped to see me and helped me be aware that life is so soon past. So despite your love, I would not dare, for there is not another who spreads her gentle love and care like you, my loving mother." How good it is to have those faithful ladies in our life, those virtuous women. That's worth is far above rubies. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads just for a moment and think about your life. First, if you're a lady, have you come to Christ Jesus? Are you living a life that honors Him? Have you truly trusted Him? If not, let me just quietly say that all the good you've done is good, but it will not matter in eternity. So why not today focus on Christ? Focus on the things that truly last and honor Him by surrendering your life to Him. Call on the name of Christ. The Bible clearly says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why not do that as we sing this song here in a few minutes? Men, I wonder, have you truly honored your wife as you should, And it all starts by first honoring the Lord. If you never come to Christ and never put Him first, you cannot honor the Lord properly. So why not today look at your commitment, see what you've done, and see if you're honoring the Lord as truly faithfully worked out by honoring your wife in those things. Maybe you're here as a child or a young man or a young woman. The same is the same call that God gives to us, to simply follow Him. Without Him, we have nothing. So let this be the day of commitment and salvation, that you trust fully in Him. Whatever it is, let us all leave this place with the thought of seeing our Father one day saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Father, we thank you, Lord, again for your blessings of life. We thank you for your word that gives us direction and hope. We thank you, Lord, especially on this day, these godly mothers that have influenced us and those that have come alongside. So, Lord, today I pray that you would bless them, but also that you bless us with conviction and commitment that we would follow you first and foremost, and then live a life that honors others. Help us now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.